first sports talk show for your sports weekend. The fastest 60 minutes in sports. It's the League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Nashville. Here we're on 94.9 The Fan and 94.9 The Fan app here in Nashville, Tennessee. Good morning to everybody out there. So we welcome you into the League Sports Talk Show. And I see you out there. I see you out this morning. Actually, I didn't see much of you this morning because leaving my house this morning, guys, it was foggy. I could not see much at all, but I see you out there. We are the first responders of sports. We are here, and we are the very first sports talk show here in the morning. We're not talking about gambling this morning, although I like to, but we're going to be talking sports. We're going to be talking sports, guys, so be ready to go. And, gentlemen, we've got Sedge, we got V, we got the Encyclopedia of Sports. That is Randall Lacy over there. Coach. Yes, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Good.
Boy, it's going to be high energy today, guys. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to unravel here, a lot to cover. We got the NBA playoffs. We got your Grizzlies. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. We've got your NFL draft, and we've got, of course, the Titans and the moves that they made, which some of it was surprising to me. I'm sure it was to you as well. So I'm excited about it all, and we are ready to rock and roll. We're going to head over to the NBA for just a minute, gentlemen, and then we'll get to your Titans. And we also have a good friend of mine for years. His Sean Collins is going to be joining us after the break. He was a first-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons and probably – possibly the most famous NFL draft ever, 1989 draft. He was the 27th overall pick out of a small school, Randall, out of Northern Arizona University, the Lumberjacks.
Lumberjacks.
So we'll have some fun with him later, and looking forward to that. But let's move over to the NBA playoffs, guys.
Was he a dirty bird?
He was a dirty bird. Hey, guys, he was in the draft where you had your first-round draft pick was Troy Aikman. You had Barry Sanders. You had Derek Thomas. You had Tony Mandarich, who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in the day. I mean, it was a heck of a draft. So we'll have some fun with him here just a little bit. And as we move to the playoffs, I just want to touch on some of the series here, kind of where we're at. The Celtics, you know, and here's what we're looking at, guys. Was it expected or wasn't it expected? And that's what I'm going to ask you. Was it expected to happen this way or not? To me, a lot of these, almost all of them might have been expected, a couple that weren't expected. And that was the Celtics. You know, they pick up the series. They win 4-2. Was that expected or not?
Expected, no doubt. Boston is the beast in the East.
They are the beast in the East, and we'll cover one more game here in a minute that'll tell you why they're the beast in the East, because the other team that we thought that was the beast in the East with Mr. Giannis is not. Then the 76ers, of course, they win the series 4-0 over the Nets. Disappointment?
No.
No, why not? I mean, the Brooklyn Nets, think about it. The Brooklyn Nets have been expected to do a lot through the last several years and, in my opinion, have just been a complete bust, failure, whatever you want to call it, at every level.
Yeah, they were lucky to make the playoffs. Once the trade went down with Durant and Kyrie, for them to make the playoffs was a good season. I'm sorry, it was a good season.
Yeah. And I think they'd probably look at it like that, guys. But let's move on to the Knicks. I'll tell you, I watched the Knicks series, and I'll tell you, you like watching a young player in the league, two young players, Josh Hart and Mr. Brunson over there, those two young guys balling out like never before. And bring the Knicks a 4-1 series win. Did we expect that? I mean, again, the Knicks were the underdog. The Knicks were the team that was not the favorite in this, and they win 4-1. Expected or not expected?
No. Expected after the first game. I mean, they just looked really good. They looked way better than last year. They look like a complete team finally.
They matured. I think that
they don't look like the same old Knicks, do they? Yeah. I mean, they really don't.
And Randall stepped up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, set him on the bench, got his attention.
Yeah, they did. So then we move on to the Nuggets series. Nuggets win the series 4-1. Expected there, I would say. Yes,
expected.
Yeah, expected for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's one that's a little mind blowing for me. Okay, it's the Suns and Clippers. The Suns and Clippers. The Suns go out, what is it, 4-1
mm-hmm.
over the Clippers. The Clippers, them guys, they just, you got Kawhi Leonard, you got Paul George. Well, you don't have Kawhi Leonard, you don't have Paul George. You don't have. I mean, what is wrong with these Clippers who really, I think, have missed the window of opportunity? The Suns look like they're trying to figure out really still how to play, and they still took them out 4-1. But what is going on? The Kawhi Leonard, San Diego State product, you know, I'm from San Diego area. I just don't get it with him. I mean, it just seems like a lack of commitment. What do you guys think about that?
Lack of effort. Seems like he plays when he wants to. Folded like a napkin. You know?
It seemed like that load management thing doesn't work.
Yeah, he folded.
I think they came back and said he had a torn meniscus.
Meniscus, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Paul George.
Well, that's both of them. I mean, both of them sitting on the bench when their team
needed
him.
That was surprising. But when I saw the series, he didn't even look like he wanted to play. I mean, you know, sometimes you see the guys, at least in uniform, he was in street clothes.
Yeah.
So with those two gone, there was no way. Even you can bring Westbrook in. I don't care who you bring in. They were done.
Yeah. So, it's mind-boggling for me. I mean, they're building a new arena just for the Clippers out in Los Angeles, I think, to be open in 2025 or something like that.
Right.
And maybe they're just getting ready for that. But they've missed their window. And then, as I said earlier, I was driving, leaving my house this morning, pulled out of the garage edge, and there was a fog. And I think the fog came about 7 hours earlier, somewhere approximately at 12:30 a.m. out in Los Angeles on the left coast, as our Grizzlies were getting pummeled by the Los Angeles Lakers. What did you see? What did you learn? What do you think? I mean, we go from a salty series that's competitive to this, where the Grizzlies are out, a 2 seed is out. What's your thoughts on what you saw last night?
They just did not play up to their expectations. They looked tired. They looked lackadaisical, as you say. They just didn't have – they weren't the same team from the first two games, the first three games. Just not the same effort. What about Morant? Is his hand? Was his hand still hurting?
No.
I think so. I still look at the way
you think it's broke. You still think it's broke?
I'm not going to say it's broke, but I think it's looking the way the hand bent back. The hand bends a lot of direction there, but that's not one. It has to affect him. It can't. You fall on your hands, see? Can you? Can you? So
yeah, but again, the game prior in Memphis. Okay, Ja Morant was Ja Morant. I mean, he was Ja Morant.
But
so,
what damage did he do, Coach?
We don't know. Yeah, that's hard to tell.
Right.
But was it as much damage to Ja Morant, or was it just the whole team, the mindset? Did it finally get to it? Here's the thing that I'm confused about with Memphis. Actually, I'm not confused because I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. Because I actually am not confused at all.
No.
What I see is in the Grizzlies, is the Grizzlies, and Ja Morant in ESPN, he admitted that the things that he went through this season, his 8-game suspension, that those things were a distraction to the team. How can they not be? I mean, your superstar player is going through some things. You know, I'm not one that believes – I heard Nick Saban in a press conference. He was speaking about a situation at University of Alabama that he doesn't believe in wrong place, wrong time. I don't either. And he put himself in some positions by choice that I believe completed – it created a distraction for the team. Just think about this, gentlemen. When it comes to the playoffs, it's about the best coaches and the best players that are in the playoffs.
True.
Yep.
You see, and I think that there's a maturity issue and a leadership issue on the team. I'm not talking about our coach. I'm talking about in the midst of the players. Because I asked this last week, who's the leader of the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yep.
There is none.
There is none.
Yeah.
And all the teams that are moving on into the next round of the NBA playoffs, do they have leaders?
Yes.
They sure do.
Some of them have two.
They sure do.
Yeah.
And you know, when I watched that game last night, it didn't look tired to me. It just looked like the Lakers are a better basketball team. They're a better basketball team. They have better leadership. And it looked like the Grizzlies were not prepared. It looked like they were ready to be done for the season. And you could stick a fork in them at halftime. It was over.
So they were done.
They were done. And I love John Morant. I really, really love John Morant. I watch him and I compare him, his moves, his movements, his athleticism, especially in the prior game, right? Incredible. I mean, a little bit of Kobe reminiscent. You know one thing about Kobe Bryant, though, is
he would take your heart.
Mentality.
He would.
And he would carry a team if he had to.
He would carry a team if he had to, and that just didn't happen with Ja. But the other thing that Kobe did, he didn't get into
outside.
He didn't get into outside issues.
Yeah. No.
You know, I don't know how many of you know this or not, but he didn't live in Los Angeles. Okay? He lived in Orange County, which is about 40, 45 minutes south of Los Angeles. Why? Because he probably didn't want to get caught up in the L.A., the Hollywood, the Beverly Hills type stuff. And Ja needs to make a decision as to is he going to be the leader of this basketball team? Because they don't have anybody else right now. And they're probably two leaders away. They probably need Ja, and they probably need a couple other veteran guys that could come in.
Yep.
I mean, what's your thoughts on that? What do you think about the Grizzlies moving forward as they got beat by 40? And that just doesn't happen very often.
Coach, I'm going to tell you like this. I think the hype got to him. He was invincible. You know, when you do stuff and they have, you know, now they're putting pictures out of him in the strip clubs and, you know, the neighborhoods, in the mall. You know, he act like he's a gangster and not a leader of the community. Mm-hmm. And I think it got to him, you know, that he was untouchable.
Yeah. And you know, when stuff like that starts to happen, you know, who is around you, Ja Morant? Who are the people around you that are the positive influences that are going to help you move forward with a career that has a potential of a Hall of Fame career?
That's true. Because let's look at the skills. The skill set, like you said earlier, I'll go online and say, hey, I think he's probably the top five best players in the NBA right now.
Possibly, I would agree with that.
So I still think you're absolutely right, Coach. They got to find another leader. Where do you find him? I still love Desmond Bane. When I watch him play, no nonsense, head down work, kind of old school basketball, he doesn't get caught up in a rah-rah like your favorite player, Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, oh, boy. That's a whole nother conversation.
So I think instead of Memphis losing that game, I think they inspired the Lakers. I think they woke them up. I think y'all wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers go out next series. But when Dylan Brooks poked the bear, I think L.A. was going to do everything in their powers to get
out. Right. Yeah, they lost that game. The next game after Dylan Brooks did that in the locker room, they didn't lose that game on the court. They lost it in the locker room. Dylan Brooks said that. Mm-hmm. The next game was over with. And it's a question as to where do the Memphis Grizzlies go from here? I mean, some of these things that we're talking about, guys, if you think about a whole basketball season, they don't really play much of a role or an effect on a whole season because of how many games they play, right? So they play a lot of basketball games. You know, they cruise through the whole season, the Grizzlies did, and finished a two seed. So, you know, we're all rah-rah. I mean, you finish a two seed, it shouldn't happen. So, you know, I heard this also, just to move to one other topic that I'm going to ask you about with the Grizzlies, but it happened to another team, okay? And it happened to a one seed this year, the Milwaukee Bucks, okay? The Milwaukee Bucks made an early exit, and Giannis afterward, and I love Giannis. I've seen him play live in Los Angeles against LeBron. Mm-hmm. But they asked him a question, and I don't remember what the exact words were, but the one word that was used was, is it a failure?
Report asked him, was it a failure?
And I didn't hear exactly what he asked, but I know the word failure was involved. And Giannis defended the fact that he didn't believe that this was a failure.
Right.
Where you're a number one seed. Okay? I have a problem with that. because it's a failure. Is it a disappointment? Sure. Is it a failure? Yeah. I mean, to me it is. Is it to you?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the one seed is gone. You're the one seed, not two seed. You're the one seed. And I know he was hurt. I mean, I know he hurt his back.
Yeah.
But Middleton did not step up.
No, he did not. Yeah. Mm. No.
And they gave him a contract, I think, a couple years ago. And I remember watching him a couple years ago. He seemed like that's that next 1-2 punch, him and G.
Yeah.
But he didn't show up.
No, he didn't. And you know who did? Jimmy Butler. My man.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't hear a lot about him, but when it comes to the playoffs, Jimmy Buckets just puts it in the bucket.
Took it over.
Yeah, that's how you take over the game. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
He took over the game. I mean, he took over the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I watched him. I watched the last two games and watched Jimmy Butler play, and I was, man.
How did he get out of Chicago?
I don't know.
Man,
I'm
still trying to figure that out. I just don't understand.
I mean, what's wrong with that, Sedge? That's your team. I mean,
it's cold up here, man. It is. It's cold.
Go down to Miami.
That Miami heat, huh?
Yeah, baby. It's cold in Chicago.
Well, I mean, I tell you. And so, you know, you think about it where Giannis says, well, it's not a failure. Okay.
I think he did it because he didn't want the criticism. You're the number one player. You fail, you know. Hey, we'll try it again next year. But I think that was his – that was the easy way out. You know I'm saying, and it was not because everybody was like, "Oh, that's so nice." No,
competition, man. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, and going back to the Grizzlies, that's what the question when I ask is, you know, do the Grizzlies look at the season, and do they say it's a disappointment but not a failure, or it was a failure? I mean, was it a failure for them to be the two seed and to be ousted by the Lakers?
What's the word you can use?
It's a failure.
I don't think it's a failure. I'm like Coach because the controversy caught up with them, and I think it messed up the mentality. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's like back in the day when you know, Magic and them, you know, you're like, we got you. Magic, you don't got me. You know what I'm saying? We about to come. So I think what happened was they lacked maturity. A lot of the players in the playoffs lacked maturity. You know, we old school, so we knew what Magic and Bird was going to do. And I think we guess with John Morant because everybody, oh, he's so great. And then when it's time to step up and he fail, then we look at him wrong.
Mm.
It's a failure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're the playoffs.
2-seed.
They didn't handle it correctly.
Yeah.
What
was the record? What was their record this year?
I looked it up, but it's a failure, Coach. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. It's a failure. Yeah.
Based on the record alone.
Oh, they were great as far as the record.
He's saying perform.
Perform.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I think there's a lack of coach control. And I like that coach. I think he's a real nice – he's a good coach. Mm-hmm. But come on, Dylan. Somebody should have reeled him in before it got to that point. And it seemed like once it got – Out of control. There was no way they can bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm the coach for coaching for 20 years. Listen to me, I always knew on my teams where there were issues.
Exactly.
I knew players that had issues, and I typically would have a player or two that I call them TMZ because they always had all the information and and they you know I'd say I'd be where's Johnny today. And then TMZ, one of my players say, oh, Coach, I saw him out there walking with his girlfriend down the street going to the 7-Eleven, you know. So he's not at practice. I'm like, all right, TMZ, I got you, you know. You know as a coach. You know. You hear rumors. You hear things that end up being true and how you control it within the locker room. And the other part of it, to your point about Desmond Bain, and Jared Jackson, the defensive player of the year. I mean, those guys got to be sitting around probably not that happy with the result. Obviously, I don't think anybody's happy with the result. But I'm just saying as the season progressed, and it'd be interesting, Encyclopedia Randall Lacy, to see what was the record of the Grizzlies the second half of the season versus the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it was. I'd have to look at that, but it just came to my mind. I'm wondering if things faded for them and started fading in that second half of the season when the things started going wrong. They just have to – when Jaw went out. Now, when Jaw went out, I think they still continue to have a winning record.
Yeah, they did. They actually performed better when he was gone those eight games. But if I'm a GM, I'm looking to move
some people
next year.
Yeah.
You have to. I think you have to. I think you got to infuse some new energy.
Yeah.
It's not working. The mentality in which the Grizzly portrayed is not working.
Right.
It cost them. And I think a lot of people are going to ride them because of that. Think about it. At the end of the game, the Lakers fans were on Dylan.
Sure they were. I mean, it'll be interesting to see who comes back. I mean, we really want them to be a winner. Like I said, I think they're in a fog right now. You know, I'm sure they're going to be doing their exit interviews here soon, and it'll be interesting to see.
Nice word, exit.
Yeah, exit. Yeah, they exited. Yeah, they sure did.
Tapping at the door.
Yeah, they did about 7 hours ago. Sure, that plane ride must not have been fun from Los Angeles. But I want to move on. We got a lot to talk about. We could spend hours and days talking about this, but you know, we're going to take a break here just a little bit. But I do want to get started on the NFL. And I just have to say this about the NFL. They have cornered how to do the NFL draft. I mean, I don't know how many fans were there in Kansas City, but it had to have been...
They said 125,000.
I mean, think about that. Now, in Tennessee, Nashville, we put on a good show a few years ago when we had the draft here too, but to move it from New York and spread it out throughout the country to the homes of these teams... was just fantastic. I mean, and they've just really got that going. But I'll tell you, the week leading up to the draft is just really not just the week, but several weeks leading up to the draft, the rumors, everything that would happen. But two things that happened at the beginning of the week of the draft were big deals, yes. As big as they can get as a draft pick, mm-hmm. Maybe bigger deals. And that is the Aaron Rodgers trade to the Jets, reminiscent of Brett Favre
going
to the Jets. Ironic, yes. Interesting, not really. But he's a New York Jet now. And, you know, listen to me, man. Listen, he goes to his darkness retreat thing. And listen, guys, listen. I actually looked up and Googled darkness retreats, okay? And it ain't something I ever want to be a part of because it's dark. I mean, you go into this little idiot. I think it was in Oregon. Okay, I think it was in Oregon.
Yeah.
And you go into this place and, you know, and listen, if this is your thing, cool, I'm, you know, good. You know, then if this helps you, good, you know. But I'm telling you what, I'd be scared to death of myself if I went into a doggone darkness retreat. I mean, and they literally said, so he goes to his darkness retreat. He was there, I think, 4 days. Aaron Rodgers did. And he comes out of it, and he seems like in the press conference – he's the happiest I have seen him in years. His smile about broke his face.
It did.
He was so happy that when he was sitting there with the owners and the GM about him becoming a Jet, and I think the happiness resonates from the fact that he's not a Packer anymore. And although he did say that, you know, his heart will be there, I get that. He's saying the right things.
He hasn't been happy in Green Bay for
a long time.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they poured all the money into him. That's why he only won one Super Bowl.
Right. And every now and then they give him bits and pieces.
Right.
And
right.
Then when they get a nice piece, that piece ends up leaving.
Yeah. And it finally wore him out to where last year he's looking around. He doesn't even know who's out there. He turns a decent, you know, prospect in Watson into a good wide receiver for him. But other than that, he knows he's got nothing. He goes to the Jets that have a lot. So, a lot. So
they made a lot of moves for him.
We'll talk more about that as to what the results are.
Got something over the wire. What do you got, Mo? You had something over the wire.
Brown to the Ravens. He wants to go with the Ravens.
Which Brown?
Antonio
Brown is going to the Ravens.
No,
coming
boy.
Out of retirement.
Who said that?
To play with Lamar.
They just put it across
no
the
way.
Line.
Antonio Brown.
No way. No way.
He's terrible.
No way.
Man,
no way.
You know, is he also going to end up like Terrell Owens on his front driveway lifting weights and doing a workout, you know, with his agent there? I mean, good Lord. This is this guy just continues. You know, bless him, you know, if he can make a comeback. I mean, he just loves the sport. I get it. Big news, too. Lamar Jackson signs a $260 million contract to stay with the Baltimore Ravens. I honestly didn't think that he was – I didn't think that was going to happen when I watched him on the sidelines of the final few games with the Ravens last year in his hoodie with his shades on. And, you know, I just didn't think he was completely disconnected from the franchise. I don't know if the signing of Odell Beckham helped him to re-sign or not, but it's interesting to see him sign that contract, $260 million, good for him. And, I mean, you talk about quarterbacks in the AFC.
Absolutely.
Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert. I mean, who am I missing anybody? I mean, does every team have a great quarterback in the AFC pretty much now?
Pretty much.
I mean, it's incredible. So all of that was pre-draft. All of that was pre-draft, and we heard lots of rumors. We talked a lot last week about what the Titans were going to do. Were the Titans in a rebuild? Are they in a rebuild? And we'll talk more about what happened next. But I just think I'm excited about what the Titans did at the draft. We're going to go into some specifics here after the break. But, boy, you talk about the quarterbacks that went number one with Bryce Young, which I believe that that is the best quarterback in the entire draft.
Absolutely.
You know, and C.J. Stroud going there. The Texans moving up and taking a 3-pick and a 4-pick there to say, hey, we want to be active. We want to be a real franchise again because it's been a while. And what they did is they took advantage of the surplus of picks that they got from trading Deshaun Watson up to Cleveland. So that was great to see. And, you know, we'll get into it. We're getting ready to go to break here in a second. By the way, we didn't even say hello to Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Nick the producer.
Nick.
There
the producer.
He is. Yeah, yeah.
Nick the producer.
So, yeah. I came in this morning. I said, "Man, do you work all the time?" He says, "Man, I was working until 11:30 midnight. I was here at four or five in the morning." And so we appreciate Nick, the producer, and we're gonna go to break right now. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about your Titans and the draft, and we're also gonna talk about we're gonna have a nice phone conversation with a former number one draft pick, Sean Collins. So we're going to have some fun. We got a lot of fun left. We will see you on the other side. I see you out there. I see you. Grab a donut, grab a coffee, whatever you need to do. We're shifting into another gear.
This is the League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
Hey, 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 hey. What's happening this morning? Good morning, Nashville. Welcome back to the final half hour of our show. We are the League Sports Talk Show, sponsored by Nashville Toyota North. And you can see me there, the coach. That's where I'm going right after this show because I have to go work. I got to bring the dough in, go make some money. So come see me and ask for the coach over there. Or ask for Mr. John Ellis, our general manager. So big sports fan that he is as well. So excited this morning. Hey, listen, we're going to get right back to Titans talk. The rest of the show, after a very special interview that we're going to have here in a moment, will be dedicated to the Titans and their draft. We've got a lot to talk about with them. And, you know, last week, I was saying it was rebuild. I don't know so much if it is now, and we'll talk about that after our special guest that we have on with us right now. So this is my brother from another mother, and he is Sean Collins is with us this morning. He is a 1989, in my opinion, the one of the most famous, if not the most famous NFL drafts, NFL history, 1989 first round draft pick. Sean Collins was 27th pick overall by the Atlanta Falcons, by the Dirty Birds out there in Atlanta. Sean Collins, my brother, how are you doing this morning? My brother, are you there? He might be still dreaming and reminiscing about who he got to play with. So he actually, guys, I'm going to throw some names at you he got to play with. You ready? So his head coach was Jerry Glanville, who probably somewhere is still leaving tickets for Elvis to go to the games there down in Atlanta.
Probably is.
Another teammate, Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Kind of heard of that before.
Yes.
How about this one? Andre Bad Moon Rising. Another one. I mean, you talk about a significant number of that draft. By the way, first round, first pick of the draft that year, 1989, is Troy Aikman, out of UCLA, yes, by way of Oklahoma. A lot of people don't know that he played out there, too.
By way of UCLA?
By way of UCLA, yep, yep. And, no, but he was at Oklahoma before that, I think.
Yeah, he broke his leg.
Yeah, he broke, yeah, mm-hmm.
And he was replaced by Jamil Holloway.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Good memory. Look, see, you are the encyclopedia of sports. I like it, I like it.
Yeah.
But also in that draft was Barry Sanders.
Wow.
Also in that draft, Derek Thomas.
Yes.
Also in that draft was Tony Mandarich, who front cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't quite turn out that well for him.
Not at all.
Not at all, but just a great draft that particular year. So let's shift just back for a moment back into the Titans and what they did and what they were about, guys. Oh, actually, I wanted to mention one pick that was surprising me, really surprising me, was Anthony Richardson going to the Colts at the fourth pick. Were you a little surprised by that?
No. I think he's the best athlete. I think he's the best, has the most, the biggest upside. So I think when it came down to them, between him and Will Levin, I think it just came to upside. And plus, think about it. They have a running game. They got the best, probably one of the best running, quietest running
backs. Jonathan Taylor, yep.
In the league. And I think they're going to ride him this year.
Yeah, you know, and that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, if you think about the quarterbacks that the Colts have right now, they got Gunnar Minshew is there, and then the kid Ellinger out of Texas. Yeah,
Texas.
You got your Texas jersey on right there. But, you know, I mean, the Colts, I mean, you know, when you think about the Titans, too, in that division, guys, I mean, you have Jacksonville, and then who else? I mean, is it going to be the Colts? Could it be the Titans? And are the Jacksonville Jaguars so far down the road in terms of how good they've been last year to where the Titans now can't catch them?
Yeah, Jacksonville may own the division now.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
For a while.
They might.
They might, seriously.
They might.
Yes.
But have the Titans decided, hey, we're not in a rebuild? And let's just go to the draft for a second and talk about that, because did you like the first pick? We got the first pick, and that was Skoronski, the big guy out of Northwestern.
And I must pat myself on the back. I did say we were going to pick a tackle, offensive tackle, because we needed somebody to protect the back end of the. I mean, I can't believe that. What's his name? The quarterback for the Titans.
Tannehill.
I can't believe that he's still alive. I mean, really.
Absolutely. That's true.
That's true.
They would come around that corner, and man.
When Taylor got hurt, he was exposed.
Oh, no, Taylor, that was a.
Yeah, he was exposed. So I think I like the draft pick. I'm glad they went offensive line.
Yeah, it hit me while I was watching the draft unfold, guys, with the two quarterbacks that were taken, and then with what the Texans did, and then they get, you know, we get to 11, and the rumors were out that Levis had some type of a toe injury. I mean, there's always rumors, things like that, but several sources were saying that he had a toe injury that really needed surgery, and they also say that that's why his production went down. At Kentucky last year, where he only had 2 rushing touchdowns, where the prior year, I think he had 9 or 10 touchdowns that were rushing. So obviously the production for running, if you have a toe injury, is going to go down. You know, here's my thought. You know, I watched Will Levis sit there, and it was painful, wasn't it? I mean, to see him sit there.
But, yeah. Coach, you called it. You called it.
Yeah.
They were going to pick that guy. Where did you get that from? A genie? Come on now. Come on now. How did you know that? Come on.
Well, because he's the most like Tannehill. He's the most like, to me, he's the most like Tannehill in the draft. He's an upright guy. He can definitely run. He's you know, but to me, I started thinking about it before the draft started, Sedge, and I thought Will Levis is not a first-round draft pick. And here's why I said that. How can you be a first-round draft pick? Your production went down the second year there at Kentucky. Not significantly, but it went down. And he threw for, what, 2,500 yards, 2,900 yards.
Right.
You know, how can that be a first-round draft pick? To me, that just, especially in this day and age with how often college quarterbacks are throwing the football and running the football, I mean, I'm looking for 3,000-plus yards and – you know, 20, 25 touchdowns and things like that, kind of similar to back in the day, Joe Burrow, you know, what he did and set records when he was LSU when they won the national championship, and he's chucking the ball around. I don't remember how many touchdowns he threw for that time, but what were you going to say, Randall?
Look at the team. The team he had his junior year was a good team. The team that they field last year. Now that's a prime example, Coach. When somebody should come out when you're hot.
Yeah,
I think
if
he came out his junior year, I think he'd definitely been a top pick. But he stayed around. But look at his team. The offensive line did not protect him this year like they did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
To me, he's not like Tannehill. He's like Roethlisberger. He's 6'4", 250 pounds.
But he can move. He can move, Sid.
I hope he, you know.
Roethlisberger cannot move.
I hope he keeps it. I mean, carrying that weight, I hope he can carry it because, you know, a lot of guys, once they get up in the big leagues, they don't run don't run as fast.
I'm like, Coach, something went awry. Maybe he did have an injury.
Yeah.
Because when he started to slide. I told you earlier that I thought when he got to Tampa Bay, I was thinking Tampa Bay was a good spot for him. And then when Tampa Bay didn't take him, I said, oh,
yeah,
get him out the green room. Definitely get him out the green room at that point.
Yeah. I thought he was actually going to go to Seattle. That was one spot that I thought.
Been a good fit.
And by the way, we'd be amiss if we didn't recognize Mr. Hennenhooker getting signed. He got drafted by Detroit Lions, so that's nice to see. And I think that's a good spot for him, where he'll be able to sit under Jared Goff for a little bit, maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe eventually compete. I also, you know, his agent came out during the draft and said that week one he will be full speed, ready to go. He's already doing drop back, so. That's good to
and
see.
And a good Lions team.
Yeah.
This is a good Lions team. Yeah. This is one of the best Lions teams I've seen in the last, I'd say, 6-7 years.
It's
amazing when you bring in a coach, Dan Campbell, with that type of energy. I don't know if you saw it, but they were on HBO's Hard Knocks last season, and old Dan Campbell.
High five.
He actually got down and started doing burpees during workouts with these guys and just really seems to be, I hate to use the term player's coach, but, you know, some of that's a truth where you do have to be a player's coach, especially in this day and age. But, you know, back to the Titans, I like what they did. I mean, I like them getting their O-lineman and settling that, Sedge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like it that, you know, Will Levis, but then here's what we've got. So here's what you got, Titan fans, and are you good with this going into the season? Are you good going in with Tannehill, Levis, and Willis? Now, Roundy, you and I talked last night, and the Titans typically only carry two
on the roster.
Two on the roster. So are you going to get rid of a third-round pick? Or is a third-round pick in Willis, is he going to be on your practice squad? I mean, what are the Titans going to do at the quarterback position? Who's your starter day one? Now I say – your starter day one is
Tannehill. Got to be.
I mean, it's got to be. Right? Am I wrong?
I think Will is gone. I think they'll cut him.
Cut their third round pick?
Yeah. No confidence.
Exactly.
No. They don't have no confidence in him.
And that showed up last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, but here's a question for you. Was Willis thrown in to the Wolves and lost his confidence?
No. I think the talent showed up. No, I think the talent showed up. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Playing in that type of conference with Liberty.
Now, a rookie playing in a playoff game, basically.
No.
And
no,
this is you what want him.
No, no. No, he – let's go early in the season when he was playing. He – that wasn't much improvement from regular season to the playoffs. Let's be realistic.
System.
Well, I mean –
I don't think it was system. I just think, like Coach said last week.
Yeah. He's not a – you know, listen – They should have not thrown him to the Wolves, okay?
Right.
They should have not put him in that situation because, listen, even us as, you know, people that watch football that aren't in the locker room with him, you can sit and watch film and say, okay, all he wants to do is run, all right? He's not ready. Get him out of there. Let's not let him lose his confidence. I mean, that's what I think in terms of all these draft picks, right? That's one of the things that the coach has to do. Coach is, you know, the position coaches, the head coach and assistant coach, they need to sit down and they need to look at these draft picks and say, you know, are they ready? You know, are they ready to be at that level? Because you can ruin a player's career. Many of players' careers have been ruined because
Absolutely.
They got thrown in too quickly.
I agree.
And they weren't ready.
But if they had confidence in Mr. Willis, why would they take Levin?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, where did they get the confidence from? Maybe from the practices? But, boy, when he went in there, Willis, he didn't look like he belonged. So again, back to my question is, you know, what do we do with Willis? So your quarterback room is three quarterbacks right now. Mm-hmm. It's Levis, Willis, and Mr. Tannehill. So how can you not have Tannehill as your starter this year? Because is Levis NFL pro ready? Maybe.
See, that's the question.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see in preseason.
I mean, Titan fans, what do you want? You know, what do you want to see? Or are they so far awry? Are we confident in what we're doing as a Titans organization? You know, I mean, and speaking of that, you know, the stadium approvals just went through this week. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, yep.
So, I mean, you're talking a stadium that's going to end up being about $2.5 billion scheduled to open in 2027. I mean, you know, what's the Titans season going to look like this year?
Rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, are they in a rebuild?
Yes.
Ryan Tannehill was on the phone with us, would he say we're in a rebuild?
No.
No.
Of course he wouldn't. Yeah, nobody would in the Titans organization.
But they picked a quarterback. Come on.
Yeah.
You're not in a rebuild and you pick a quarterback?
Again, two drafts in a row. You know, you pick quarterbacks, two drafts in a row.
Well, so Tannehill's not going to be here soon, guys.
The reports were that they sat down with him and gave it to him straight. So I think he's auditioning for another team because, you know, other people were saying that if he trip and fall, he's out of there.
I mean, you know, I talked to a lot of people around me that are Titans fans, and, you know, most of them are saying, you know, we want Tannehill out, we're done, you know, that type of thing. I don't know if I would move that quickly.
Mm-mm.
Because what's your alternative right now? Is either Willis or Levis. Levis never played a down in an NFL uniform yet. I mean, I'm saying stick with Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill gives you the best chance to win. It doesn't seem like Derrick Henry is going to be moved, so you still got a very good running back. They picked up a running back in the draft last night, too, late in the draft.
Yeah, the kid out of Tulane.
Yeah, out of Tulane Waves. And that was an interesting pick. He doesn't have an ACL. I mean, he's had injuries. He's had this. You know, it's just it's kind of, were there other backs that have an ACL that we could have gotten? I don't know. What type of impact we would have? I mean, most of the time, the draft isn't going to be something that immediately is going to make you a contender for a Super Bowl.
No.
Can it make you a contender to, you know, get a wild card or something like that? Sure. But, you know, I just see the Titans in a situation where they run with what they've got. They play Derrick Henry. They play Tannehill. They play this season. And honestly, what happens if Jacksonville, I mean, do you believe in Trevor Lawrence? You know, he had one good year.
They gave him a coach. Remember, his
they
first
did.
Year,
yeah.
He had the guy at Ohio State.
But did the Titans get better from what we saw in the draft?
No.
We were saying with the other teams.
No.
Did we see the Titans get better?
No.
Why not?
They stayed the same. I mean, you got to start front wherever your problems were. Your front line, your defensive backs. You know, you got problems. All of them had problems. I think all of them tried to address the problem. But as far as the Titans, we know, you know, we hired them.
So here's a question for you.
Still 7-10.
Yeah.
8-8. 8-8, coach.
You got to go 8-9, 17 games.
8-9.
17.
Okay. Give them one more loss, V.
Preseason.
I don't know. I mean,
I gave a preseason.
Big 8-1.
I'm going to be optimistic from the perspective of they're not in a tough division, guys. I mean, they get to play. Who do they get to play twice? They get to play the Texans twice.
Texans might beat them. Remember, the Texans beat them, that
looked good in the draft.
It looked good toward the end of last year, too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
but they beat us, didn't they?
That's the team that they had better from the draft.
Guys, it's the Texans.
Coach.
Yeah.
You got to win.
I know.
How do you lose to Detroit and then Texas?
I don't know. I really don't know. Titans fans, do you know? I don't know. But you got the Colts. Are you afraid of the Colts?
No, but I'm scared of their running back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, scheduled running back.
Put 9 men in a box and, you know, We can't really do 9-man in a box. Play that youth football, right?
He's a good running back.
We're going to run a gap 11 defense.
And we know
we're going to stop you, Jonathan Taylor.
But we know AR can run, too.
Huh?
AR can run, too, who they drafted.
Oh, no doubt.
So, I mean.
No doubt. But, I mean, so that's, you know, Anthony Richardson now in Indianapolis Colt with 13 starts under his belt. Yeah, but, I mean, again, that's what I'm trying to say, guys. Listen, I'm not afraid if I'm – again, I look at it from a coaching perspective, okay, and how I'm going to set my team. Listen, I never went into a season and says, hey, you know what? Guys, let's just finish 500. Let's just get to 500.
That's a good season.
That's a good season. Let's go ahead and do that.
Okay, Sid.
Everybody's fired.
6-11. I'm going to 6-11 now.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy. You're 6-11. Listen, guys. Here again, think about it. Think about the teams that they have to play in the AFC South, okay? They're not that good, okay? Jacksonville last year had a good season. I get it. But who else okay. do they play? They got who is it? The Colts?
Okay.
The Texans?
We give them, okay, I'm saying 6-11. I say they beat the Texans twice. They split with Indianapolis Colts. That's three wins. So throughout the rest of the season, they got to come up with three more wins.
So who they play as far as the conference? You know they split the conference. Like they played the AFC South. I mean,
that schedule's coming out already?
We need to see
the opponents have come out for the Titans. So that's what you got to look at, guys, because last year they finished 7-10. And they're not going to get a massively difficult schedule, right?
Okay.
So, you know, I'm bringing it up right now so we can talk about it because, you know, the schedule's not out, but actually who they're playing is their opponents. So you've got it looks like we're playing the AFC North. So you got Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Lost.
Oh, my word. Randall, really, to Cleveland?
Yes.
Yes.
It's Cleveland.
No, this is the second year with Watson. And we're forgetting they got Nick Chubb.
Are they putting it together?
They have a good team.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And let's not talk about their defense.
Yeah, we'll get into our predictions and all that stuff down the road, but Cleveland is a 7-10 team. Sorry, Randall.
Brissett was their quarterback.
I know.
This is Deshaun gets the whole season.
I know he gets the whole season, but when was the last time Deshaun Watson played a whole season?
Been a long time.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He was in Texas, in Houston. The team you were talking about a few minutes ago.
Horrible. Randall, doggone you, encyclopedia over there. Because, look, here's what they got.
Okay.
None of these teams scare me if I'm a Titans fan. And if I'm wrong Titans fans, you tell me. Cleveland, Houston, Indy, Jacksonville, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. And then they get Houston and Indy again and Jacksonville.
But why okay, they're not winning.
Huh? They got
why
the Bengals.
Are they not
they got the Bengals. Okay.
No. Okay.
That might be tough. But then they got Atlanta, Carolina. They got Miami. Miami doesn't scare me.
Oh. What?
Okay. Oh. No. Why what? Would Miami scare me?
What? Coach, come on, coach.
I'm serious.
Miami?
Tell me why Miami scare me.
Waddle, Tyreek Hill. And if they can keep Tua upright, then keep him upright and don't have injury problem.
Okay, what did you just say though?
Keep him upright.
Yeah, and if
I think they're going to keep him upright this year. I think he's in a contract year.
Yeah.
So I think they'll keep him upright.
I mean, the teams that the teams that are going to be tough, they get the Chargers actually come here. I will be at that game watching my lightning bolts bolt up, people.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Seattle. I'm talking the tougher games.
Okay.
You know, based on now, this is fun to do, right? But we don't really know because we're just going on what was last year.
Yeah. Correct.
We're not going on this year. We're just kind of go. But you got the like I said, you got the Bengals, the Ravens are tough. You've got the Chargers are going to be tough. You know, maybe Seattle, maybe not. Maybe Miami, maybe not. But other than that, it's the regular. So I'm sitting looking at the schedule. By the they haven't announced when the actual schedule is going to be out. Those are just the opponents that they're going to be playing this season. The schedule release is rumor has it that it's going to be somewhere around May 11th.
Okay.
But hey, we need to start wrapping things up here, guys. We've covered a lot of information. I mean, a lot of stuff on the Titans. Obviously, I'm the only believer in this whole entire room in the Titans. Nobody else is. So you can thank the coach for that because the coach. is probably going to be right most of the time. So, but let's go to just our fastest 5 minutes in sports real quick. I asked this question last week. Who starts for the Titans week one?
Tannehill.
Yeah,
Tannehill. Does Levis change your mind at all?
No.
No.
Not at all. So we're going Tannehill. Hey, who do you think that the Titans, and of course, Titans fans, I'm on your side, and I have nobody else in this room that's on my side. Do you think the Titans can get to a wild card?
No.
Mm.
No.
No.
Coach.
It
no.
depends.
No.
I say yes, they can get to a wild card because depends. Of who they play. I say they're going to be a wild card.
What's okay, their record?
Coach. Why are you looking at me that way, Randall?
No way. We'll be.
Okay. We'll have a wager on that.
Yeah, we will. They'll be picking top five next year.
Okay. I forgot who's your NFL team. Who's your NFL team?
It's Cowboys.
Oh, Lord. See, now, hey, Titans fans, now we have, now we know why.
And I'm upset because yeah. I thought the Cowboys should have did all they could do to get Bijan Robinson. That's all we missing. Yeah. I can't believe they did not try to get him.
You've been sitting over there dying to say something about the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, America's team.
We are America's team.
Okay, so listen. So we're going to put a bet right now. I say that they're going to go to the wild card. If the Titans make it to the wild card round, okay, you have to wear a full Tennessee Titans football outfit.
Really?
Yes. Shoulder pads, jersey, football pants, football helmet, the
I'll
whole
do that.
Thing.
I'll do that. I'm that confident that they're going to be picking in the top five next year. I'll do that.
Okay, and if the Titans do not make it to the wild card, I have to wear a Dallas Cowboys full-blown uniform and run through my neighborhood.
Oh, that's got to hurt.
Because there's a lot of Titans fans there, and I will be standing up. I'm standing. Titans fans, I am standing up for you today.
You have a deal.
Here we go. Ready? let's see. We've got Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl this year?
No.
Man, you guys are answering these questions a little too fast. I'm going to say it again. Aaron Rodgers, can he win a Super Bowl this year?
No.
Come on, coach.
They'll make playoffs.
They got talent over there in New York.
They'll make the playoffs.
They'll definitely make the playoffs.
It looks good on
and that's Madden. Been consistent. What's that?
It looks good on Madden with the joystick.
And then Lamar Jackson, MVP year?
No.
No.
I'm going with Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Okay. Yep. All right. Yeah, that's kind of a stretch.
You're a big dog, man.
How could that possibly be a stretch, Randall? I'm going with a stretch. You do not think that Lamar Jackson, now that he's happy, he's got a contract, $260 million, he's got Odell Beckham, they've really revamped their team, that he doesn't have a chance to go back to his MVP year? I think so.
I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think Joe, I'm going to go buy a Joe jersey, matter of fact.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. This is going to be a fun football season, Nashville. Yeah, I promise you that with these four guys in here.
Yep.
Hey, listen, we want to thank Nashville Toyota North as our sponsor and appreciate those guys. I'll be there in about an hour and a half. If you want to come pick up a Toyota or another car for me, I'll be there to help you out. In fact, I will get you a Tennessee Titans license plate frame. Ooh. For you, brand new, shiny. If you want to come see me over there, we'll have some fun. But we appreciate everybody in here. We appreciate Sedge and B and the encyclopedia over there. I am standing up for you, Titans fans. This is the league sports talk show.
Go Raiders.
We love you. I see you out there. Let's go.
Raiders.